and welcome back to the 13 Club podcast. Today you're listening to a post-mortem episode. Our post-mortems are little bite-sized spooky stories that you can fit in between your whatever you're doing. I was going to say your work week, but I don't think anyone's working right now. Some people are working. You can fit it in between your work week or your quarantine week. We release these every other week in between our regular full-length episodes. So hopefully these are just little tidbits and bites that you can enjoy. We are actually recording a kind of mini-series, if you will, for the month of May. We're going to be focusing on a lot of Japanese folklore, traditions, horror, monsters, myths, legends. We're making a little series out of it. So stay tuned and enjoy.
Yes.
Would you like to add anything?
No.
Perfect.
You did it perfectly.
Would you like to go first for this one, or would you like me to go first?
It doesn't matter to me, whichever you prefer.
I will start this one off.
Okay.
And I would like to go ahead, and I'll say this for all of the postmortems because I want to be absolutely clear. But normally, for like our full length episodes, I over-research the absolute shit out of whatever my topic was to the point that it's like, I'm sure miserable for all of you to listen to.
But you also balance me out because I'm like, oh, I wrote this down on a napkin and I did like 2 seconds of research.
No, yours are always so entertaining though. And you always find like the best topics. But for this particular series, actually, and this is, I think it would be fair to say this is maybe in a way kind of what inspired us to do, a lot of, like, Japanese-focused stuff is I have read these, and I'm going to read more, but I'm in the process of reading some books by Tara A. Devlin. She's got a series about different spooky Japanese things. I have Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Toshiden, which are books that explore Japanese urban legends, and I have Volume 1 of Daikan, which is haunted locations in Japan. And I was reading them, and I was, like, super fired up on them, and I was kind of planning on introducing them, like, spicing them throughout our postmortems anyway. When I got in touch with Kim about recording again, she was like, I picked out a Japanese one also. Mm-hmm. So we decided to collaborate our love of Japan and make a little, like, mini event out of it. So all of that to say, instead of, like, overdoing it, I'm actually gonna, my source for all of this information is gonna be a really cool series of books I've been reading.
Yeah.
So
that is so cool. I actually want to check out those books. I probably will.
I think she has a couple different series. There's like the Reikon and the Toshiden one, and I remember there was one, this is not gonna make sense, but I'm gonna say it's like a red series. Like the Toshiden books are like colored with like a blue theme color on the cover, okay. And the Reikon is green. There was one that was red, and I think it was, like, specifically, like, online scary stories from like, Japanese 4chan or some that kind of thing.
2-channel, yeah.
Yes, so that is a whole nother series that she's done. And if I understand correctly, I think these are all, like, these volumes are, like, compiled from a blog that she's been running for years. So, shout out to Tara Devlin, and thanks for the good reads, and I'm definitely going to check out more. And also, not that this is necessary, but a quick shout out to the person who gifted us these books. Thank you, Tracy. I don't know if you listen to this podcast, but thank you so much. So I'm going to skip that, and I'm going to do my topic. This is from Toshiden Volume 1.
And I have one thing to say.
Yes.
And that is, we were just like, yeah, we're doing Japan May, but the next full episode has nothing to do with Japan.
Ah, yes, that's true. Yeah. This is specifically postmortem Japan May.
Yeah. We do have, like, some Japanese full-length episodes that we are going to do, but we recorded the other episode previously, so we weren't on that thought train yet.
It wasn't May yet.
It
was not May yet.
No.
I
saw somebody say on Twitter, I think this is, like, relatable, but somebody was like, I have never seen a month just fucking up and leave like April did.
Oh my god, that is too true.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's gone.
The fourth month of 2020 did not exist. Mm-mm. Some kind of, there's a 420 joke here somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I can't find it. Okay, so I'm going to be sharing with you guys for my postmortem today, the legend of Sugisawa Village. Is this one you're familiar with?
No.
No. Okay.
I also have, like, a village thing, but, like, not today. So we'll mix it up.
Yeah. This one, so the way that she's written this, which I think is really good, is, like, she has the legend, then, like, kind of about the legend, and then, like, the history behind it, and kind of she breaks it down pretty well. So I'll break it down the same way for you guys. So, hidden deep within the mountains of Aomori Prefecture, there exists a village called Sugisawa. One day, a man from the village went crazy. Within a single day, he killed everyone living in the village and then took his own life. Nobody knows why he went crazy, nor why he went on such a violent crime spree. But the end result of this horrific crime remained the same. Sugisawa Village became empty. The events of that day were so cruel that the local government decided to leave the village abandoned and at the same time deny anything ever took place. They then erased all trace of the village from the local maps. Luckily, the village was deep in the mountains, so it was easy to cover the events up. But of course, they couldn't erase the fact that the horrific crime did take place in the first place. There were rumors of thick bloodstains all over the village, and those who approached the village would undoubtedly be cursed by the evil spirits that lived there. Furthermore, according to the legend, it's impossible to reach Sugisawa unless you leave the straight path that leads further into the mountains. Then you will find a sign with a warning standing at the entrance. That sign states, "You may enter, but do so at your own risk." You can also find an old red shrine gate at the entrance, and a stone shaped like a skull sitting at its feet. The legend of Sugisawa Village first appeared in the 1990s, although the events mentioned in the legend itself are purported to take place early in the Showa era, the late 1920s and early 30s. The story was one of the first and biggest to spread through the internet in a time when it was just starting to take off. The story became so popular that several media outlets picked up on it, and it was through the TV show Kiseki Taiken Unbelievable in 2000 that it truly reached the masses. The episode set out to find this fabled village and determine whether it actually existed or not. They searched throughout not just Aomori Prefecture, but similar stories all over Japan, but in the end they never found it. The program then claimed that Sugisawa Village must exist in a space-time warp, able to appear and disappear at will. After the program aired, many people set out to find the village themselves, uploading blog entries and later YouTube videos on their findings, many of which you can still watch on the internet today. Despite claims to the contrary, nobody has ever found the real Sugisawa Village of Legend, and it's unlikely anyone ever will. The legend of Sugisawa Village began in Aomori, the place the village is supposed to be located. There was a real village called Kosugi. It was a small village in the Obetakezawa district of Aomori City. This area received its name because of a mountain stream that flows through the cedar forest. Sugi means cedar, and Sawa means marsh or mountain stream. People would say they were going to the cedar, which sounded a lot like they were going to Sugisawa in Japanese, and thus it came to be affectionately called that. However, the village was only accessible by foot, and as the years passed, it became abandoned because of depopulation, not a murderous crime spree. So how did the benign village of Sugisawa become the fabled site of such a horrific crime? There was an actual crime in 1938, the same time the Sugisawa legend is supposed to have happened, that took place in the small village of Kamo, close to the Tsuyama close to Tsuyama in the Okayama Prefecture. A man, Mutsuo Toi, 21 at the time, killed 30 people and injured 3 before killing himself. Toi had tuberculosis, and in his suicide note claimed that the villagers treated him cruelly, so he wished to extract revenge. He snuck into people's homes over the course of a single night, and using a shotgun, katana, and axe, killed over half the village's occupants before killing himself at dawn. Although Okayama and Aomori are separated by quite a distance, somehow the story of this crime in Okayama was adapted to the abandoned village in Aomori and became the modern-day legend of Sugisawa Village. There exist even more crazy rumors about the truth of Sugisawa. Some claim it's actually a cover-up for a secret government echelon base, while others have claimed it's a settlement for old Templar knights. Apparently, you can find Jesus Christ's grave in Aomori Prefecture as well. Who knew?
Yeah. Been there the whole time?
Right? There are several key signs that you've stumbled upon Sugisawa Village. 1. There is a sign at the entrance that states, "You must not proceed past this point. There can be no guarantee for your life if you do." There are variations on the exact wording, but in every version, the sign states that if you go past it, you'll be in big trouble. 2. There's an old red shrine gate at the entrance to the village, beneath which you'll find a stone shaped like a skull. 3. Upon entering the village, you'll find several abandoned buildings with bloodstains on the walls. There are several creepypastas on the internet from people who claim to have visited Sugisawa. The following is a common tale shared amongst friends of friends. One day, two young men and a woman went for a drive deep in the mountains when they got lost and stumbled upon an old, beat-up shrine gate. Beneath the gate, there were two large stones, one of them shaped like a skull. The young driver saw it and remembered a rumor he'd heard long ago. The rumor was that a skull found at the bottom of a shrine gate was a sign of the entrance to Sugisawa. The two men got out of the car, however, the young woman said to them, "I'm scared, let's get out of here." They decided to search the village, however, and all went in together. About 100 meters after passing under the shrine gate, they suddenly found a large open area before them with 4 old, abandoned buildings. The three of them stepped inside one of the buildings, and inside they found a large amount of dried blood on the walls. The two men felt a shiver run up their spines, and the woman suddenly cried out, "Hey, there's something strange about this place. I can feel a presence." The three of them fled the building in surprise, and as they did, they felt like they were being surrounded by a large number of people. The three of them ran for the car. However, something was wrong. No matter how much they ran, they couldn't seem to reach the car. The open space to the car should have only been 100 meters, and it was a straight path, so there's no way they could have gotten lost. Even so, as the three of them kept running and running, they couldn't escape from Sugisawa. Unawares, the woman suddenly found herself separated from the two men, and as she kept running for what felt like forever, she somehow finally found herself back at the car. Thankfully, the keys were still in the ignition. She climbed into the driver's seat to go and get help, and turned the key to start the car. However, no matter how much she turned the key, the car refused to start. On the verge of tears, she kept turning the key, over and over, trying to get the car to go. Then, don, 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 a large sound suddenly reverberated from the windscreen. She looked and noticed the windscreen was covered in bloody red handprints. No, not just the windscreen, countless bloody red handprints appeared all over the windows, as though they were being beat upon at the same time. The woman crouched down in fear, and before long she fainted. The next morning, one of the locals, out for a morning walk, stumbled upon the bloody car and the dumbfounded young woman inside. Her hair had turned white from fear overnight. She was taken to the hospital, where she explained her terrifying experience. Afterwards, she disappeared and was never seen again. Her two male friends were also never found. The following is a tale from someone calling themselves Matsu-san. This is a story someone who went to Sugisawa Village told me. They were driving up the mountains when they finally found a gravel road they could pass through when they found a sign. They ignored it and kept going before they realized they had arrived at Sugisawa Village. The place apparently stank of garbage. There were a few wooden buildings and a lot of rubbish lying around. This person felt someone watching them, though, and feeling creeped out, they left. A few days later, a friend who was with the person at the time died. And finally, the following is from Keiko-san in Saitama. I went to Aomori Prefecture to go mountain climbing. About 2 hours into climbing, the area was wrapped in fog, and I couldn't see well. I made my way slowly up the mountain so I didn't fall, and there were several villages along the way. Then it was like there was this one village smack bang in the middle of the jungle. It was so dark, I pulled out my torch and approached. There were 6 buildings in total, and I went from house to house checking each one. There was no sign that anybody lived there. All I saw were 2 cats. While I was walking around, I sensed somebody approaching me, yet when I looked around, nobody was there. It was incredibly strange. There were houses further back in the village as well, but I was too scared to go and look at them. About 20 minutes later, I noticed a man standing behind me. He was wearing a straw hat and had pale skin and blue eyes. I said hello, but he said nothing in reply. I paid him no attention and kept walking, but then he suddenly screamed and ran at me. I ran and finally reached the sign that stated I was back on the mountain climbing track. That was the first time I'd ever been so scared. I still don't know what that guy was doing there now. I told people about what happened there, but nobody believes me. The following message was posted by someone claiming to be a police officer in Aomori. Sugisawa Village exists. It's close to Aomori Airport, but you must never go looking for it, and please don't enter it half-cocked, because if you do, you'll never come back. There have been several documentaries and even a movie made about Sugisawa Village over the years. It's featured in several manga, multiple TV shows, and you can even play a game on your mobile phone where you try to escape from the village. And you can find a full list of these at the Japanese Wikipedia site for Sugisawa Village.
Very cool.
It's so similar to the one that I researched. Oh, really?
It's so similar. It's, like, a totally different thing, but I think there are a lot of, like, similarities within, like, cultural fears and just sort of the way that legends kind of unfold in people's, like, people's examples of what is scary and then, like, the way that they translate it into, like, an urban legend.
Right.
There are a lot of, like, similarities within, like, yokai. Like, a lot of, like, yokai women have, like, a similar thing going on, or, like, similar, you know, those conditional ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
They're, like, they're similar. But I think it's, I think that's neat.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about it, or one of the reasons I picked it, is because it reminds me a lot of a, like, a Fatal Frame game.
Yeah.
And I'm a big dork.
The one that I did, people, like, said that Siren and Fatal Frame were both inspired by it.
Woo!
But, very, I mean, cool. Who knows? I was thinking about it, I was like, how do you know it wasn't inspired by Tsuyusawa? Like, you don't.
I mean, who's to say? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. So that's mine. Hit me with what you got.
So I'm sure you've heard of this, but we always say that, but you know about Teke Teke, right?
I do, yeah. But definitely refresh me, because I don't remember the details.
So, Teke Teke is a Japanese ghost called an Onryo, and that means a vengeful or wrathful spirit.
Okay.
So there are a few different origin stories of her, and one is that, like, basically, like, the basis for the stories, they all kind of follow, like, a similar pattern, and it's a young woman who fell onto a railway and got split in half by an oncoming train, and, like, okay, split in half, like, her legs from her torso. So, like,
she was right, split in half hamburger style instead of hot dog, yes, style.
Yes, exactly. Some say that she was the victim of abuse, and some say that it was suicide. Teke Teke gets its name from the sound it makes. She drags her body with her hands, and the sound that she makes when her hands hit the surface that she's crawling on is teke teke. She is said to haunt urban areas and roads at night, of course, at night. Of course. That's when all the good shit's happening in the spook world. If someone is so unfortunate as to encounter Teke Teke at night and is too slow to escape her, she will murder you by slicing you in half with a scythe because she is red.
Oof.
And this is literally, like, me, the way that I, like, write my notes, but I'm like, this bitch is really fast and she doesn't even need legs. Like, she doesn't even need them. Here's, like, another little account, and it's like, a famous one. It's, like, a young boy was coming from an all-boys school at night, and he looked back at the school, and he saw a woman in the window, which he thinks is strange, since it's an all-boys school with an all-male staff. As he's staring at her, the woman suddenly climbs out of the window to pursue him, and, like, now imagine this. She's, like, got no legs, and she's just, like, tick, 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 down the wall. And then she comes after him.
Down the wall.
He's like, yeah, down the wall from the window.
Oh, my God. So I was picturing this as, like, a first-story window or something, and now I'm picturing it as, like, a third story, and she's, like, climbing down, like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
And then she, like, of course, like, gets all the way over to him super fast, and he is, like, he's standing there, like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have a chance. So then, like, the next day, they, like, found the boy's torso, but not his legs.
No.
Some people say that there are, like, certain charms that might protect you, but a lot of them just basically say you're pretty much shit out of luck unless you're fast.
Yikes.
There's a name that is tied to her, which is Kashima Reiko.
Okay.
I found two stories about Kashima Reiko, like, when I just plugged that name in.
Mm-hmm.
One is that she haunts bathroom stalls, asking people where her legs are. And when they can't answer, she chops them in half. People may survive this encounter by telling her that her legs are on the Meishin Expressway. Or saying the phrase, Kamen Shinin Ma, which means Mask Death Demon, which is believed to be the phonetic root of her name.
Huh.
There's another separate story I found.
Mm-hmm.
That she was brutally raped by a Japanese soldier and thrown on the tracks to die. And she was chopped in half, but it was so cold outside that she was kept alive. And she crawled to a nearby station, and a worker there, like, when seeing her, like, drag her body, was so freaked out that he just smothered her with a tarp.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. That's so that's why up. She's out there, like, just fucking shit up, because she mad.
Man, I would be too.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. Not that anybody here needed telling that, I guess, but, yeah. Like, holy crap.
I'm sure you can find, like, other variations, but, because she's, like, really popular, and she's been featured in a lot of media.
I was going to ask you, do you remember that, it's not a creepypasta, I guess it's, like, it's not even, like, an animation exactly either, but do you remember that thing that went around, like, 7 or 8 years ago, and it was, like, a story, and you scrolled through it, 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 and it's, and you get to the very bottom, and this, like, woman comes, like, really, like, it's a jump scare, but it looks like a woman, like, comes really close and, like, gets in your face, and it makes a scary noise, and, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I do. What, is that Teke Teke?
I don't know. That's a research project for us now.
I'm sorry.
Postmortem to the postmortem.
The post-postmortem?
Yeah. Extra post.
That's, yes. That was such a good story. Thank you for sharing it. I love it.
No worries. It's a classic. I felt like most people might already know it, but if you're not, like, into researching that stuff, you may not.
Yeah, or if you are just, like, I feel like there might be a lot of people who are new to, like, Asian horror, which is, like, very much its own flavor compared to, like, Western horror. So, like, this is a good introductory, maybe.
Yeah, also, like, I didn't know all the deets. Like, I didn't know all the different, like, variations on the story. So that was always fun for me.
Always something to learn.
Mm-hmm.
About
ghosts.
Yes, definitely. I guess that will wrap it up for this little bite-sized episode. Mm-hmm. As always, we have our social media on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just look for the 13 Club, XIII, and you will find us. We have an email where you can reach out to us with your own stories or requests or questions, comments, concerns. It's ask13club@gmail.com. And again, that 13 is spelled XIII. Our website is 13club.com, where you can catch our notes for all the full-length episodes we do, check out more about us, find out how to contact us.
Or if we find, like, if we find that Flash animation, that's where
we'll
go.
That'd be a good place to put it, yeah. Anything else?
Nope, I think we're good.
All right, catch our next full-length episode 1 week from today, or one week-ish. And, next postmortem will be more Japanese horror goodness. So,
yes.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.